Before I start, if you look at the notices when we have them up, we support three children in different countries in our church. Bedleen was the first sponsorship child that we support. She's in Haiti and she's 12. And we, when we were in India in 2017, we met a little girl just about 2 years old then, who had been brain damaged at birth. And so we send money and we support her. And if you would pray for her, Amshika, she's obviously not well generally, but she's particularly not well at the moment and undergoing various tests and things. So please keep praying for her. And then we've had a photograph from Innocent, who is in Uganda. Innocent is now 18, and we support him every month. We have a jar at the back of the church where you can put money in to help support. We send between £23 and £27 a month for each child, and that helps to pay for their education, their healthcare, food and things like that for their families. Some of them, Innocent is an orphan. He lives in an orphanage in Uganda. Amshika and Bedleen live with their parents, but obviously they're supported through their local churches. And they asked him, how would you describe a good friend? And his answer was, a good friend should be helpful, care for one's needs and be truthful. And he was asked, what's your favourite Bible story and why? And he said, the story of Job is my favourite in the Bible because he went into suffering, but still he remembered God. So if you continue to pray for those three young people that we support, and if you want to give any money towards that, the jar at the back is for them. You will have noticed that I'm not Dave. Dave was supposed to be preaching this evening and has sent his sermon. So it is still Dave's sermon tonight. But unfortunately, because of the fall that he's had, he's not able to be here in person. So please do keep praying for him. He's actually preaching tonight on David. Not himself, but the David that we find in the Bible, who was called a man after God's own heart. And that verse is found in Acts 13, verse 22. And it says, after removing Saul, God made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And so this evening, we're going to look at King David. He's probably one of the most famous kings in the whole Bible, and certainly one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. And the account of David's life contains some of the most well-known stories in the Bible. You know, almost everybody, whether they're religious or not, knows the story that we sang about tonight of David defeating the giant Goliath. They also probably know his most famous psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, even if they don't know that he wrote it. He also wrote a great number of the other psalms that we find in the Bible. And there's no doubt that David was a great king, and under his reign, the nation of Israel flourished and prospered. He was famous and feared throughout the Middle East during his lifetime, and his fame endures even today. Now you might think, well, how can we learn anything from a man who's been dead for about 3,000 years? But the short answer is that David achieved in his life something that God wants every single one of his children to achieve, something that God wants every one of us here to achieve, because David became a man after God's own heart. And a study of his life can teach us how we can be like that too. But of course, we've got to remember that David wasn't perfect. In fact, he was far from it. He failed, and he failed, you know, in big ways. But he kept short accounts with God. There were quite a few times when he sinned, and in that, he was no different to any of us. But he was also quick to confess his failings, and he demonstrated genuine heart repentance. So David has got a lot to teach us about obedience and faith and worship. So let's look together at David, a man after God's own heart. Now, that's not his opinion of himself, but that was the testimony that God gave about David. You know, many people have a good reputation in their lifetimes. Some even obtain a good reputation throughout the world. But there are very few who've had a testimony from God. God said, "I've found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." What was it then that made David a man after God's own heart? First, we've got to understand the situation in Israel at this time. Saul was the first king of Israel. He was chosen as king because the people wanted to be like the other nations around them. Up until that point, God had ruled the nation. He'd raised up leaders as they were needed. And that's how things had operated from the time of Moses through to the days of the judges. But the people of Israel wanted an earthly king. They wanted a human king. They wanted to be just like the other nations. And God used the prophet Samuel to warn the Israelites that elevating a man to the throne would bring political corruption and trouble. But the people ignored God's warning and they chose Saul to be their king. You know, God chose him, but the people were delighted. You know, he was a fine physical specimen. He was handsome. He stood head and shoulders taller than anyone else in Israel. But he might have been, you know, like a physical giant among men, but he was also a spiritual pygmy. He was a jealous man. He lived for the praises of the people, and he tended to overstep his boundaries. He was guilty of gross disobedience to the commands of the Lord, and that proved to Israel the dangers of a human king. And God rejected Saul as the king of his people. And as a result of Saul's rebellion, God chose a new king to rule over Israel, and he chose a young man called David. Now, when God chose David, he chose an unlikely candidate for such a lofty and powerful office. And so we begin to see something of the process God uses when he chooses people to work for him. He doesn't always choose the people we'd expect. Out of all the people of Israel, God chose a son of Jesse, and he was just a poor farmer from the tiny hamlet of Bethlehem. The favour of God landed on a boy named David, who was the youngest son of Jesse. He was a young man. He wasn't even respected by the other members of his family. He wasn't tall and handsome. He was, in fact, just a nobody living in a family of nobodies. But by the grace of God, he became the greatest king in the history of the nation of Israel. And he also became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's listed among the great heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. And during his life, he received great promises and remarkable blessings from God's hand. But greatest of all, he became this man after God's own heart. Paul says in Acts 13, verse 22, this verse that we're looking at, "After removing Saul, God made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" We can't necessarily understand why God chose David, but we can look at things about him that might give us a clue. So, first of all, this choice involves sovereign providence. You know, it's against the backdrop of rebellion and rejection that God begins the process of choosing a new king for Israel. And he was ready to raise up a new king. The people had been made ready to accept a new king. God worked behind the scenes during those difficult days in Israel's history to prepare the way for his plan to be fulfilled. He knew that the experience of Saul as an exploiting, jealous and greedy king would prepare God's people for a king of his choosing. And God's choice also involves sovereign planning, because the prophet Samuel was told where to go to find the new king. It appears that the Lord had been arranging everything to bring his chosen king into the world at precisely the right moment in history. If you look back at the ancestry of King David, you'll find the hand of the Lord moving and shaping events. One of his ancestors was a woman called Rahab, and she'd been saved out of pagan idolatry, brought into the nation of Israel. She married a man named Salmon and became the mother of a man named Boaz. And in turn, Boaz married a Gentile girl named Ruth, who'd been brought out of paganism by the sovereign grace of God. Ruth and Boaz were the great-grandparents of the boy named David. And those events weren't accidental. They were part of God's perfect plan. They were formulated in eternity past and worked out in time. It wasn't a coincidence. It was God's mighty hand. His choice also involves sovereign power. He says, I have. You know, many people have got great plans and dreams, but they lack the power to bring them to pass. You know, we can think about Martin Luther King, who in his famous speech in Washington in 1963 said, I have a dream. And in that 17-minute speech, he laid out his dream for a non-segregated America. But he never saw that dream come true. He was assassinated in April 1964, less than a year from when he had his dream. But that's not the case with the Lord. What he proposes and dreams, he's well able to do. Why did God choose David? Perhaps these are some reasons why God picked David over all the other sons of Jesse or the other boys in Israel. Maybe it was because David had a true and genuine faith. Think about what he said when he was going against the giant Goliath. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came out and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You know, I wish we had that faith to meet the devil on his own ground today. David knew that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And that's a lesson we all need to learn too. He had a truly grateful heart. In Psalm 30, David said, Oh, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. He was grateful to God for all he'd done in his life. He never let fame and power go to his head. He had a truthful nature. When he sinned, he admitted his sin to God. He knew what kind of person could walk with God. He knew that it had to be a person who walked uprightly, who worked righteousness, who spoke the truth in his heart. He knew what qualities God looked for, and he desired to have God's approval upon his life. Psalm 51 is probably the most famous psalm that he wrote after he had sinned. It's a heartfelt plea to forgive him. He was truly repentant. We can read about the sin with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 2 to 5. And it's often true that the greater you are, the harder you fall. And David's fall was great indeed. He committed adultery. He lied. He connived and planned murder. He sinned against God, but he admits it. He said to Nathan the prophet, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Admitting our sin and asking for forgiveness is only half of the equation. The other half is repentance. And David did that as well. Psalm 51 is this great prayer of David's repentance when he says, Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. David knew what kind of person could walk with God, and he knew that it had to be a person with integrity, who walked uprightly, who worked righteousness, and spoke the truth in his heart. He knew the qualities that God was looking for, and he desired to have God's approval on his life. He had a transparent life. Psalm 26, verse 2 says, Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. He prayed that God would examine his life. It's a good prayer to have, that we ask God to examine our lives. You know, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. You know, our lives are transparent with before God. You know, God already knows us inside out, whether we realize it or not. But wanting to be transparent before God is a great thing. And he trusted God at his word. David knew that God's word was forever settled in the heavens. And he realized that God keeping his word was more certain than the sun coming up in the morning. He was so certain of it that in Psalm 119 we read, Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's choice of David wasn't based on criteria that met the world's expectations. David's early life teaches us that God's always looking for men and women who are faithful in the small things, who are thankful in all things, truthful always, transparent before him and the world, and the people who trust totally in God's word. It's not about your talents or even the lack of them that decides if God will use you, although he will use you if you're saved. God desires to use you. He chooses us first before we choose him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, "We love because he first loved us." We love God because he first loved us. He chose us first. He loved us first. He convicted us and brought us to himself. And God took this young boy that everybody else ignored and made a king out of him. God knew where David was before David knew he was present. And God took him from that shepherd's field and made him king. When you say, "God can't do much with me," well, all that says is you're not really trusting in God, because God can do great things in your lives. What he did with David, he can do with every single one of us. And our plea to him should be that of David in Psalm 51. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." With that as our prayer, then we go a long way to becoming those with God's own heart, like David. Amen. Amen.